Good evening, everyone, right? Are we ready?
Ready.
So, we've got like this. Again, when someone does work for you, so the Torah says to make sure to pay up before Shkia. We mentioned that Tzavor, the Chai Odom wrote a Tzavor, and in the Tzavor he writes to his children, make sure to be Mekayim this mitzvah, even if you're going to miss Mincha. You might miss Mincha, right? Let's say a person is 20 minutes before Mincha, and you can either go to the cash machine and go and pay the babysitter, or to chaparana mincha bismanoi. So Chai Odom is telling his children, it's better, one's deraisa, which is paying a work on time, and one is derabonon. That's quite a powerful thought, and the Chofetz Chaim puts it this way, would a person ever take a shofar on Rosh Hashanah and say, ah, he'll wait till nacht, he's going to wait till nacht, he gets his arba minim, he's paid £200 for, he doesn't bother doing it in time, he waits till nacht, in the second night, and then he shakes the arba minim. Obviously, says the Chofetz Chaim, this is such a thing which is not negea, and therefore we have to try and make sure to pay on time. Major kulos, which is mentioned in the mitzvah of paying a work on time, which is most cases, you have a professional person that comes and does your boiler, and he does a good service, he spends 5 hours there, you would have thought you should pay up £1,000 for whatever he charges. The maisa, there is, because if he sends you an invoice, that is like a minig that you don't require, that he doesn't expect payment that day. Where you get receive an invoice, seems to be like a minig that no one's expecting a person to pay that day. Usually, Bederklan, in this country at least, invoices are at least 7 days, three, 7 days. And therefore, it becomes like a minig. The Gemara speaks about Surah de Shukoyi, where that was the minig to pay then. So then the lavim and the asay, it doesn't apply with invoices. So Bederklan with invoices, it's not negea, this mitzvah of Behemites and Schoroi, and the five lav which are attached to it. Punkt, if a person does happen to pay the day, he actually, he receives the invoice, the worker, is one of these people which are extremely efficient, straight after the job, he's already sent the invoice via email. The ma'isa, there is a mitzvah, I would have thought there is a mitzvah, Behemites and Schoroi, but if a person didn't pay that day, there's zecher no lavim, there's zecher no, you don't have to chapa with them because, invoices, derech kol ha'oretz, there's no problem with that. The heta number two is a goy. A lot of times a person for some reason has a goy doing a service. Ideally a person should get a yid, but if it's whatever conveniences or a lot less money, which the Chofetz Chaim says, he gets a goy to, window cleaner or something. Also again, let's say it's not invoice and the regular thing, he expects money that day. There is no mitzvah to pay a goy. There's a chinuch that held it is. Abul Maisa, Rav Eliyash already said, because it's not brought down in command, it's not brought down on the page of Shulchan Aruch Bechlal, all the Rishonim hold is not negea to a goy. What is negea to a yid, which you find a lot of times, which are not shown to a mitzvah, there, if he does a service for you, you'd be surprised how many people in Manchester that you think are goyim, and they do a service for you, they clean the windows, and he says, yeah, I remember coming to you, your previous seller, the person who sold you, 40 years ago, and then he starts telling you about Cheatham Hill, that he was Jewish. You'd be surprised how many of them are Jewish, and I've heard many, many shiders, many stories about this, that taka that a person's had a cleaner for years and years and years, and then they realize that he's Jewish. Samach Tachamol, but if you do know he's Jewish, there is a mitzvah to make sure to pay that day. The Ramesh Hashem has got a nice truva about this, he's Madama to Ribis, you do find it Indian, so it's over here. There seems to be an Indian to make sure to pay the day. It's very negair. Sometimes a person has all sorts of services, and the person is a yid, not shomer to mitzvahs, there's still a mitzvah to pay. The third heter was mechila. If he clearly gives you consent, he tells you it's fine, I don't need money this today, I'm happy for money to come tomorrow, that's fine. What's tricky is... Sorry?
You don't make tomorrow.
No, that's fine. There won't be a lavim. The whole lavim, and I say, the whole pump, call it, is only the day that you finish the work. Once you got around that day, whatever the reason is, whether it's an invoice, or whether any other reason, or whether it's mechila, once the day is finished, the next day, there's a mitzvah to pay your choiv, and there's a isra medivri kabbalah to just leich v'shov, to just send someone away for no reason. You've got money. Don't tell someone to just go. As they state in Pasuk, don't tell someone to just go. So there is a isra medivri rabbonon not to send someone packing for no reason. Oh, but zichah, there's no lav and there's no assays, you pay as quick as possible.
If he sends him, then that's what that's possible.
So now,
really?
Oh, here you go. Here's the big shayla. When heta number three, which is mechila, a lot of times he tells you, yeah, but really, a person, who does a service and he's already finished the service is in a very poor position. What's he going to do? You're going to tell him anything you tell him is a bit funny. Yeah, he's not going to have the koyches to stand up against himself. He's just spent 3 hours doing something for you. What's he going to do? No, start haggling after the service. And therefore, Rav Shlemach again writes there, it's not so geschmack to start negotiating a mechila after the service. It's kedai to try and make sure to ask him before the service, or even after the service, if you know that it's really genuine, you know, he's quite happy, maybe he'll get cash in better ways, or he's genuinely happy, or he trusts you, you've got previous experience with him, that's fine. So you know a word is a word. But if it's a random person that you ask him to do a job, and he's done the job for you, spent 2 hours trying to fix the swing in your back garden, and then after that you tell him, you know, tomorrow, you know, what should he do? He doesn't know you, he doesn't even done the same shul, he's got no idea who you are, so... That's not geschmack. That's taka nisha over time. That's not proper. It's not emesim mechila. Next one. What happens if a person, he comes home from a shavu brachas and he says thank you so much to the babysitter. How much is it? £3.50, £4 an hour times 3, £12. Oh, yeah, I haven't got any money. I forgot to take out money from the machine. Or the machine was broken, or the machine, sorry, we can't provide you anymore. You know, all the commando machines around in town. So what's that locha? If a person hasn't got any money, fine. So then what should he do? He's potter. But if a person has got, let's say, £1 or £2, Chafetz Chaim says, at least give him that pound, or what, £2, at least, because on that pound there's a chiv to give him. Very interesting, bi'alocha, which we already mentioned, that instead of paying money for tzorichi Shabbos, for your cholent, for your liver, and for your egg, for Shabbos meals, which is only a mitzvah medivri kabbalah of oinik Shabbos, better use the £40 for the person that you owe money, because that's a mitzvah deraisa. Again, that brings out a very strong point. Again, obviously you can work out around mechila. If you get his real consent, you get a real mechila, then you can try and get both and pay him after Shabbos. But you see the choma adava, where you start, your starting point is quite chomu, that's quite strong. Very interesting. Are you ready? Are you sitting down for this chiddush? You come home and you come home with, I don't know, you bring your brother home, and then you say thank you very much to the babysitter. It was amazing that you came. Thank you so much. £12. How much is it? £10. Okay. Sorry, I haven't got any money on me. Says the Chofetz Chaim. This is a waka. There's a chiyuv to borrow money. To borrow money. Your brother's got 10 on him. To borrow money to pay up your poil. To pay up the person who did the service for you. This is a waka in chiddush. Chofetz Chaim says clearly. Chofetz Chaim's opinion is clearly that a person is obligated to borrow money, right, in order to pay his worker. It's a very interesting concept. The Achol Kamenit, the Chofetz Chaim, already pulls a lot of weight, but the Chofetz Chaim's opinion is that there's a chiyuv to borrow. V'nireh dim yochel lahasik mois lilvois, if you can get money to borrow, tzorich lilvois k'deshiyeh yochel lekayim mitzvah aseh to be yom tzitzis chorech. A powerful chiddush of the Chofetz Chaim. I've always cleared, very interesting, you come home and you say to the babysitter, I'm sorry I haven't got money. Can I, you know, Chofetz Chaim's telling you try and go to the next door neighbor to borrow money, but how about would the Chofetz Chaim tell you to borrow money from the person who did the babysitting? Let's say she's got a £10 note in the pocket. Borrow, lend me £10 for der halvor, and then I'll pay you the £10 for the service, and then I'll pay you back the £10 for the halvor. It sounds completely, so to speak, comical, whatever word you want to call it. That's something which is lo yala la da somehow. But if you go with the Chofetz Chaim's chiddush, that there's a chiv to borrow from someone in order to pay up your mitzvah of the payment of work. So, okay, I understand that is a chiddush in itself, right? But then, how far would the Chofetz Chaim go? Would he start saying that you should maybe perhaps borrow from the person that did you the service? Because at least you've been carrying the mitzvah of b'yom tzitzis chori, and then you have a agav halvor. There's no mitzvah of b'yom tzitzis chori to pay halvor. So that's an interesting thought. What would be a kudul chavos chaim? It doesn't sound right to start borrowing money from the person. Just to leave you with that thought, Rabbi. So let's get cracking. We've got this is too much to get through here. Here, this is a very another practical thing. What would be if you have a child, and you say to the child, you know something, if you collect all the chamoshim, I'm going to give you a sweet. I'll give you a small chocolate. Yeah, kosher, nice heksha. Yeah, okay. And then he finishes it all off and he say, yeah, you know, I'll give it tomorrow. So says the Chofetz Chaim, another chiddush, that this halacha of b'yomitit and schoroi applies to a cotton as well. And leisolin applies to a cotton. So if you instruct a child to do a malacha for you, and he collects all the sidurim, I'll give you a packet of Winkies, the swizzles, and at the end he starts saying, you make a joke of it. So it says the Chofetz Chaim, the Issa of Leisik Noiv applies, and the Issa of Leisolin, and the whole bang lot of it applies, even on a child there applies, Midaka Rambam, that the mitzvahs apply to a child as well, you've instructed him, and therefore it should apply to a child as well. It's very negate, a person, again, not only money, it's also negate to, you give a person, again, sweets, like we're saying, sweets could also be a problem. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein also points out, when you go to a school, and the Rebbe says, if you chaza this whole perik of, perik dalad of Yuma, you go through the whole perik tonight, then tomorrow everyone's going to get, you're going to get something, a chesa, lafi tafi or something. And it comes the next day, the Maisa, it's not so clear. It could well be he has to keep to it. Medine Schiras, Medine Le Solim. That's what he clears about. Do you look at it as like it's employment? Or do you say, no, it's just Mechazuk. Where did he draw the line? He's noted to say that perhaps this is called, if you do this, then I'll give you this. Yes, there's chinuch purposes involved, but at the end of the day, it could be a type of service. You say that if you've done this, then you'll pay. You'll give this laffy taffy. That could well be that there's a lav of Leisolin and the mitzvah b'im tisfer applies. What I find extremely common and very negea is when a parent looks at the playroom and says, "What a mess!" and says, "Yankee, listen, I'll give you a laffy taffy again. I'll give you laffy taffy if you clear up the playroom." Okay, so he gets his act together, clears up all the playroom. And he says, right, I've cleared out the playroom. Now, it's very tempting for a mother, for a father to say, let's keep it for Shabbos. There's so much going on with parenting. There's so many chashbonos, maybe for this, for that. Let's just keep it for tomorrow. And you sort of talk your son into saying, let's just keep it for tomorrow. It could well be the same thing applies. That you've instructed the child to clear up. And now he comes along and he wants his schar. And you've told him to, you send them packing till tomorrow. That could be a shayla, again, Leisolin. I have to share with you something which is is much more common. Much, much more common. And that is bargaining after the service has been done. It's specifically when you get to a child. So he comes back after the 10-minute clearing up the playroom. And you're really happy. But you know what it's like parenting. You want to get the most out of your laffy taffy. And you say, after you get in pyjamas. Right, so he's tidied up the whole playroom, and he comes to excited for the laffy taffy, and you tell him, after getting pyjamas, or after you have a shower, right? So you throw in another freebie for yourself, another condition. This is something, not specific to a child, but negated to everything all over, and the Chofetz Chaim shares his thoughts on this one, very passionately. He says he cannot understand people, I'm saying not his words, but many times you have a person who comes and arranges with a person who's going to fix the swings in your back garden, let's say. Yeah? So he's going to spend 2 hours and he fixes it. And it's easy not to negotiate a price before. Yeah, can you do it for me? Especially if you need it done and you don't want to start haggling with him. You want to. For some reason, the human nature is to try and sort of not talk about money, and afterwards we'll have to pick up the pieces, hope for the best that it goes smoothly, and otherwise we'll have to negotiate. Very, very common. He spends 2 hours hacking and getting soil from B&Q and putting it in and mixing it. Again, 2 hours later, he says, right, how much is it? £130. And he says, hang on a second. In my mind, I thought it was 80, 90. Can we settle for 100? And he starts negotiations. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it's impossible to save yourself from an Issa Gezeila. This is the words of Chofetz Chaim. This already is the Loshon of Chofetz Chaim. Umotzei ma'oid, sha'achar ha'po'ole yesh vikuach. And then when they leave each other, everyone thinks that Yenim stole me, he got the better of me. Yenim thinks I paid him £100, I saved £30. Yenim thinks I should have got another £30. And really the halacha is, ha'kol k'minik ha'medina. And listen, umi yuchal leida. You're going to have 3 specialists. You're going to have to see you around the globe how much this sort of service is worth. It says the Chofetz Chaim, it's come out impossible. Ubal korcho chemiritza lotzis yidei pli pickbook is muchrak to make up a price beforehand. Again, if everything goes nicely and afterwards, it's fine. But it's very common, and you see again and again and again. Fixed my car, okay, so he's fixed the car and he comes afterwards, he says 350. start negotiating. Now, really, you don't know what it's like to be a mechanic. The mechanic doesn't know what to be, doesn't know what it's like to have to, you know, what. No one really understands the other person's perspective, and no one can really work out exactly where is the real price. Everyone's going to think the real price is lower or higher for the service provider. So, says the Chofetz Chaim, the only way forward is really to make sure that you get clear on the price before the service, because to bargain and to negotiate after a service, which is so common, is a shayla of gezeila. His lashon is so amazing. He says, "Yiksoiv imoy hamekach betchila," because otherwise, olul ma'oid lios gazlan va'ish ksas choche, unless you mevatzah b'mamoyne completely, which is very hard. He lays it on quite clearly that Chofetz Chaim is saying that it's very hard to get it right afterwards, and it's very easy to talk your worker into it. Again, he's done the job. So what do you imagine? He tells you for the swings to put in was £130, and you turn around to him and say, "Ah, I thought it was 80, 90. Ah, I'll pay 100. What's he going to do? Let's say it's taka worth £120. Any builder would charge. You go to B&Q to mix here. This is a crust. You got to know what you're doing. And what happens if it really is worth £120? Novus, because of his situation, he's going to turn around to you and say what? You'll be thrown out of the house. Well, then you get nothing. So it says the Chofetz Chaim, that's a very, very hard one to chew over, and it's zecher worth kedai to make sure that you've pinpointed on a agreed a price beforehand. And I say it's negay to a child as well. You say it to a child, you get laffy taffy if you do the playroom. I think it could be a similar shayla when he comes to you and says, "Right, can I please have my laffy taffy?" And you say, "You know what? If you get in pajamas." I just wonder. Again, we take it for granted that parenting, yeah, I'm the boss and that's how it is and finish, Shema Yisrael. But I wonder if you put the halacha glasses on. I wonder if that's the case. You've told him, you promised him. Besides, for the sheker shabbat, you said that, you know what, you'll get a laffy taffy if you tidy the playroom. And then another condition is that it doesn't know where he stands. And then what whams after pajamas? Then maybe something else. It doesn't seem, it probably is incorrect to go ahead with that one. Next one. Okay, we've got a final one which we can throw in, a very interesting one. Again, there's loads of interesting shaylas which we're going to, there's no time for again. We can't make part three because we have to finish on time. And we'll have to go like this. And a final shayla is, a lot of people have done services for people. They've fixed their boilers, they've done their electricals, they've cleaned their gutters, whatever it is, they've done their things, they've fixed their car, and they're not receiving the money. Now, you know how it goes. Either you do the control, start doing the legal stuff, or you apply pressure, you send them a text, you send them an email, you especially go to where he does Maariv, so you can catch him there, and you say, no, what's going on, and especially pass his house. You can put the pressure, start the cooker going. That's one way forward. And to a certain extent, it works a lot. It's very powerful. You show your frustration that you really want the money. I need my £400. I've got a business. You should know there's a posik, a law in the Torah with loans, that if you lend someone £100, you cannot put pressure on him. Don't know if people know this. It's very chomel. It's a law in the Torah. Don't chap him. There's a famous maisa where Reb Chaim Brisk lent money to a balabos. And years later, the Baal Boss comes knocking on the door of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. He says, "Reb Chaim, you must stomach forgot, but a long, long time ago, you lent me 100 rubles, whatever it was. You lent me some money a long, long, long time ago." Reb Chaim looked at him and says, "Tibus Mashiach, you think I forgot that I lent you money? From the day that I lent you money, my route to shul, whatever, it didn't say where he went to, the route that I took to shul, let's say shul, I took a different route because shteit lo yisielo kenosha, and I was worried that every time I go past, I'll meet you because it's motzi, you come out your house and everything, and it'll be uncomfortable as a gaitus. You know, now we're in our cars, we don't see people, but if you walk past regularly, then you end up seeing the person, and that's going to put pressure." Ruchaim Brisk, yeah, he says, "From that day on, I went the longer way even, and I changed my route in order not to apply pressure." So it's clear that when it comes to loans, that's the halacha. However, the poskim say when it comes to a service, there is no issa to put pressure. Again, in daf nishan a behema of at least there's a pressure. A person needs to have a business. You could apply a healthy pressure to make sure he try and get his money. The lav and the Torah lecielo kenosha doesn't apply. Shkoyach.
right?